You're listening to The Central Cast, recorded each week in front of a live audience in Glendale, California.
I want to begin today actually by answering Charles' question from last week. Charles, you asked, what is the origin of the word or the name prophet, the term prophet in the Old Testament? What did it originally mean? And I did my homework this week, and I promised you an answer, and so here it is. So in the original Hebrew, the word prophet is nabi, and it's translated as spokesman. Someone who communicates for God or communicates the will of God. And interestingly, in the Greek, which is the other ancient and original biblical language, the word prophet, which is prophetes, which is where we get the English word prophet from, it also has the same meaning of spokesman or one who communicates for God. Which is interesting because doesn't really mean prognosticator or fortune teller or psychic, which is, of course, sometimes the way in which the prophets functioned, it seemed, but their primary role was that of a spokesman, someone who communicated God's will to the people, who cast a vision, you could say, for the people. Which is interesting because I think in English, most of the time when we hear the word prophet in our daily lives, we think of, you know, Dumbledore or Gandalf, you know, something like a wizard, a prognosticator, you know, something like that, someone who tells the future. When I was growing up in the church I grew up in, by the way, I always have the best stories about church, don't I, from my upbringing? Aren't those great? This is one of those. My church used to hire professional prophets that would come in on a Sunday morning and do what's called personal prophecy, where they would walk up to somebody, many people, including me, in the service, and just prophesy over their life and tell them what God has in store for them and his plan for their life. And it was usually pretty generic stuff, you know, like God has his hand on you and is going to bless you and he's called you to do something meaningful in the ministry. It was always kind of like generic. But I always was thinking, you know, what's really the difference between that and calling a 1-900 number and talking to a psychic? You know, I always was like, that's one of the strange ironies and contradictions of my early church experience. But that's not really the biblical definition of a prophet. It's spokesman or spokeswoman. Someone who communicates the will of God, who calls God's people back to righteousness and justice and casts a vision for his people. And that's really the role of the board of directors here at Central, the elders and staff that make up that board. And I'm going to ask them to come forward this morning. Come on down right now, please. Thank you. These are the prophets of Central Avenue Church, in a way. I know you guys are like, please don't call me that, which is fine. But that's really their role. They are spokeswomen and spokesmen for the Lord here at Central. This is great. Do we have enough for everybody? I didn't intend for that to be left open for me. I was going to sit on the end. Max, sit down over there. I would feel really weird if I sat there. I'd be like I'd be afraid to be identified as the guru or something. Yeah, so this is the board of directors, everybody, minus Desiree, because Desiree's downstairs teaching right now. So these are people that were elected by this congregation at different times over the last couple of years. And so we're going to hear from them this morning. We're going to talk about what it means to be Central Avenue Church. And to get us kicked off, I asked Caleb, and Caleb's wanted to do this for a while, actually. If you remember, like 6 months ago, we had people come forward, maybe it was a year ago, every Sunday and share the story of their spiritual journey. And Caleb, for some reason, wasn't worked into that rotation, I think maybe because you're out of town or something. And so I thought, I'm just getting the podium here. What a great way to get us started here is to give Caleb an opportunity to share the story of his spiritual journey, and then we'll kind of open it up a little bit to the rest of you. So Caleb, here's your podium. Here's the microphone. Okay. Thank you, thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Okay, I'm a little nervous, even though I probably shouldn't be, and I have an audience in front and behind. There you go. So when Aaron asked me to share my spiritual journey as a gay Christian, I was like, okay, where do I start? Because as far as back as I can remember, I've had a relationship with God. I believed in God before I knew what having a relationship with Christ even really meant. Let me go back to my childhood. My parents met in seminary. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, Assembly of God. Did anybody grow up in that? It's all about the fire and brimstone, for those of you that did, which totally mattered later on in my journey, the denomination I grew up in. We would spend most of almost every night of the week in community with our church family. I loved everything about it. I loved hearing the Bible stories. I loved hearing how somebody would love me endlessly. I loved the promise and the hope that it gave me. I was a Jesus kid for sure. When I was a kid, I was involved in the Royal Ranger Boys program. We would do cool things like hike, fish, build fires, and go camping. Over one camping weekend, one of the boys said to me, "Why are you so nice to me?" Which was odd. "Why are you so nice to me? You're not like the other boys." I came home and I shared that story with my mother, and I asked my mother why I was different. She said that I wasn't different and I was just like the other boys. I accepted that explanation and I buried it deep inside of me. And I continued on in my journey. As a young man in a relationship with God continued to grow, I was on fire for Jesus. I had this crazy faith game going on. I'll give you an example of what that looked like. In high school, I and some friends took a road trip up to Big Bear one weekend, and I was driving. We ended up driving up in a snowstorm, and my friends were totally freaking out. They thought we were going to drive off the road because you couldn't see the road. It was crazy. But this crazy Christian kept driving, praying, and saying God was with us. And they were literally losing their minds, yelling in the car. So obviously we made it. And they were so pissed at me, though. they were like, "You're crazy." But I'll continue on in my journey. I dated girls in high school, and things were fine. But then I met a guy friend. In Houston, I had a problem. I'm feeling something that I hadn't felt before, a deep connection to him that didn't make any sense to me. I couldn't explain it. I was so confused. At the same time, I knew the feelings were real. I got totally depressed, and it was as much as I prayed about it and asked God to help me understand, the feeling wasn't going away. I didn't think I was gay because I had a girlfriend. Plus, I was, I was a Jesus kid, and I had met a gay couple earlier when I was a kid, and I told them they were going to hell, because that's what I did. That's what I was told to do. It was so wrong. Given my upbringing, I was told, as far as I can remember, that being gay was the greatest of sins. Well, through a series of events, I figured out I am different. And then I went to God and I asked God, why? Why did this happen to me? I'm a good Christian. It's a little emotional. Why am I burdened with this thorn? What did I do wrong? Why am I not welcomed in the kingdom? Why am I going to hell? And mostly, why don't you love me? I struggled with so many questions and very little answers. My parents were not happy, and they kept saying to me, "You just need to pray and ask God to heal you." I felt so tortured. I was dealing with feelings of love, but that feeling to love was wrong, but yet God's love was right, yet I didn't deserve it. It was hell in my mind. I couldn't make sense of it. But I continued the journey, and yep, it turns out I'm gay. I came to total terms with being gay. There was no space for me to be gay and a Christian, as I was told those two could not exist together. Like I said, so I said to God, "Okay, if you love me and you created me perfectly, but I'm being told that I'm living in sin and that God doesn't love me as long as I'm actively gay." So I made a decision, and I walked away from church, and I walked away from God. I said, if I'm going to hell, then I'm going to hell in a handbasket. And I just literally cut my life in half. What I do want to point out at this point in my journey was, as much as I wanted to walk away from my relationship with Christ, that's not actually what happened. Somehow, God never was far from me. There were so many occasions that his loving hand would reach out to me and remind me that I wasn't alone. It was amazing, and my faith was still so deep. Life was moving full steam ahead. I was happy, I was in love with a man, and loving life. My partner of 11 years occasionally would go to church with me, but I still didn't have really a relationship with Christ. As I did before, the whole gay thing came up. It was totally different then. I felt God always calling me, but didn't believe there was a space to be a Christian and to being gay. Pages. I'm nervous and sweaty. So how did I come back to my relationship with Christ? Well, my long-term relationship came to an end. I found my life spinning out of control. Everything was different. Nothing made sense. I couldn't find any place, any peace anywhere. No amount of money, no amount of things, no where I went. Nothing helped what I was feeling. I was lost, and I needed Jesus. The one thing in my life that is believed, that I believe is true and is solid, is God. And even though I wasn't, even though he wasn't with me, or I thought he wasn't with me, he was there. So one night, after having a terrible, emotional evening, I cried out to God, and I challenged him to save me. I told him that he needed to, because I couldn't do it myself. I couldn't move forward. Around that time, I played on a gay tennis league, and I overheard this guy talking about going to church, which was a very shocking surprise to me. My ears must have literally grown 6 feet because I listened to every word, and he wasn't talking to me. He was having this conversation on the side. So it turns out that he attended this affirming church, which at the time, I didn't even know what that meant. I was like, what? It was in North Hollywood, and he invited me to come. I was like, wow, this can't be one of those, a real church. This has to be one of those fake churches. But I went, and I was completely surprised and totally shocked, and I found that there was a community there that actually accepted me just as I am. It was there that I began to rebuild my relationship with God. I dove back into the Bible, studied, listened, and started seeking a better understanding of my faith. What does it mean to be a Christian? Why did people tell me that God didn't love me? And how did my parents have it so wrong? How did my parents? I didn't understand. I felt like I've grown to have a genuine relationship with Christ. When I was a kid, I really didn't understand why, and I didn't ask really why. I just accepted what I was told, and I realized that I lived on blind faith. But blind faith isn't really blind. For me, it means that I understand what I believe, even if I can't prove it. I also found GCN, which is now called the QCF, where I met Jonathan, who attends here. And that's how I actually connected with Aaron, which led me to Central Avenue Church. I was happy to find an affirming church with a straight pastor that welcomed me in the community. I feel here at Central, it's totally honest to share sometimes that I don't feel like I understand how God works, and no one is looking at me like my faith isn't strong enough. That to be in relationship with Christ is to recognize that it's hard work and it's not easy. I'll leave you with this. For me, God has been the consistently inconsistent relationship in my life. I'm grateful for my journey, and I can tell you that I'm still on that journey, and I hope that each of you are as well. So, there it is. That was nerve-wracking.
Hey, look it. That took an enormous amount of courage, and I wanted Caleb to have an opportunity to share his story this morning as a way of starting our conversation, because that's what Central is about. And it's uncomfortable sometimes, right? And we sit with anxiety here and our brokenness, but we're in it together. And in that, there's a kind of infinite depth. And Christ is found in the midst. So I wanted to start with that today. It's really intense, right? And I wanted to just give anybody else an opportunity. Everyone's like, I'm not going to follow that up. But give anybody else an opportunity who wants to share, you know, what brought you here and why do you keep coming? Kind of what your story is a little bit, but what brought you here? Why do you keep coming? And let me just, Dorian, I saw that hand, so I'll be right there. You have, this is a dialogue. This feels very formal, but this is a family. We are all friends here. So if you have a question at any point, just raise your hand and I will bring the mic to you and you'll be able to ask that. Or if you want, I want a dialogue. So just keep that in mind, all right? Dialogue amongst the board, dialogue amongst the congregation. So let's keep it somewhat informal. Did I see a hand already? Okay, cool. Dorian.
No, you can sit right there. That's fine.
I'm Dorian. And yes, Max stole my shirt. But I came here, I've been in LA for about going on 7 years. I came here about like 6 years ago. And I always laugh because when me and my wife, Sudie, first came here, there was, I think, about 10 people, max. And
now there's 10 people on the board.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I've been able to be a part of a community that's been able to grow into this size, which I think is fantastic, and it's full of a group of, you know, not everybody's of the same mindset, which I love and I find fascinating, and, but it's, you know, a community nonetheless of people who essentially come together to believe in whatever it is under God and in Christ that we choose to believe together as a community and to support each other in that. I myself, as one of the, I am a product of one of the many millions and millions of people, I'm sure, who come out to California to pursue their aspirations, their dreams, and you know, many factors play into it, you know, my own intention, my own choices and everything like that, but essentially life deviates from that and that's okay, or at least I'm okay with it. But it's been kind of a rough 6 years because I feel like I've never ever reached my full potential. I've never, you know, I've never felt successful within myself. I've never, you know, there's a lot of, not so much insecurities as there are, disappointments within myself, and then also with life as well. You know, I get frustrated with myself, but I also get frustrated with the world and people. And I think one thing that Central has done for me is, it's allowed me to, well, not allowed, but it's, I think it's encouraged me to be myself, as quirky, as sometimes outspoken as I am amongst a lot of introverts. Sometimes I feel like I have to tone it back. But you know, it's great because when we have elder meetings, you know, there's so many different opinions. And I feel like as there should be, but it's great because I think one thing that it teaches me, and hopefully all of us, is that, you know, we all come to the same place, but we all don't believe the very same one thing. And that's okay, that's beautiful. And for me, the greatest word, the greatest color that I've been able to embrace is gray. Because I'm a believer, personally, that nothing in this world is black and white, and everything is gray. I'm a progressive who is the product of two very conservative, you know, evangelical Christian parents who, two of them, or one of them voted for Trump. The other one, I don't even know if he knows what happens in politics half the time. I feel okay with myself, but yeah, I'm so disappointed in myself and with humanity, but I think the one of my biggest things is I'm trying very hard to love humanity and myself. And I think that's one thing, that's one of the biggest things that Aaron preaches is at the end of the day, you know, all sermons aside, you know, I think our biggest goal within our community is love. And that's, if not the most important thing, the biggest thing I want to be involved with. So that's why I'm still here.
Thanks, Dorian. Yeah. Somebody else want to share what brought you here? What keeps you coming? Okay.
Hi, I'm Ben. I know Aaron would lovingly call this place like an AA for recovering fundamentalists, but that wasn't necessarily my background. I grew up a little bit more traditionally in a Catholic tradition. And, you know, my mom was... Closer?
Yeah.
Closer? Sorry. and so, for me, I think... coming to Central, we actually came here because there was a pamphlet. I think the one of the few times you guys sent out pamphlets to the local neighborhood or whatever. It worked though. We got us here.
Ben, you're the most expensive member.
Yeah, I'm the one person that resulted from that. I appreciate it. So I showed up one Sunday with my wife, and I think. Not to be too long-winded about it, but essentially my wife and I, we had a little bit of trouble getting married because I was Catholic and she came from a much more like fundamentalist evangelical background, and where they definitely had sermons about, especially the Catholic Church, they were the seven-headed demon and all that good stuff. And so the fact that, you know, she was going to marry a Catholic was like the worst thing in the world. So essentially we had gone to her priest because we wanted to do like a to have two people officiating our wedding if we could, like her pastor and this deacon from our church. And he, when we met with her pastor, he seemed to think that the fact that we were of two different denominations, there's just no reconciling that at all, despite the fact that we had been dating for several years. And there were definitely bigger topics that we fought over than religion, but we loved each other and we both had a heart for Christ. So anyway, he eventually said he was like, he'd think on it, and then he talked to his elders, and then about a month or two before our wedding, he decided he could not be part of it. He couldn't even show up to the wedding because he was afraid that having his face with even somewhat associated with the Catholic Church was like a heresy or the worst thing you could do. So I mean, we're a little bit pissed at the time, but we're like, whatever, we're gonna get married anyway. Anyway, so my wife and I were trying to find a place that we could both worship together. She would come with me sometimes to the Catholic Church, which was great, but I think for her, she never felt like she fully connected with that tradition. And so I wanted something that we could share. So it was actually one weekend when her mom was visiting. She was very much evangelical, fundamentalist. We came here, and Aaron gave his sermon, which I think is, I feel like, your mission statement at least once a year or so of what this church is about, you know, missional, relational, intellectual, and talking about really being the hands and feet of Christ in this world, and also embracing doubt and unknowing. And for me, especially growing up in the Catholic Church, it was very much like, this is the catechism, and this is what you believe, and why you believe what you believe, and that sort of thing. So if you ever had any questions, you know, you could just open up this book, and it would give you all your references you needed. And it was amazing, because it was very emotional, heartfelt speech, and I remember coming home that one time, and I was a little bit despondent, and my wife was wondering, like what's going on? And I think from that very first message, I knew that I couldn't just, something had changed and I couldn't go back, if that made sense. Because I had a whole bunch of doubts and questions about faith. And then the next Sunday, which I think kind of sealed it for me, I think Aaron had come back from the GDC.
GCN,
wow, GDC, what the heck is that? Oh, never mind. Sorry, totally something different. And he spoke about where he was now in the gay debate in the Christian church, and described how there were these two sides, essentially. I mean, to simplify it down, that there were two sides of where Christians fell, And to have someone talk so honestly and open about this topic that I had never, even in the Catholic Church, we never really got too much into the gay debate. It was never really like talked about all that much. I think it was just kind of assumed that everybody was on the same page, you know, and then you find out later on in life, especially when you get older, that nobody's really on the same page, even if you're all going to the same church and same denomination. But what I appreciated about it was that there's this open dialogue, and that you didn't have to be on board with what the pastor's saying or on board with what everybody else felt, that it felt like I could be really honest with myself and that we could invite conversation and that sort of thing. And I think that also opened me up to doubts and feelings that I had, and being able to have a space to not only be in community with each other, but also to explore those doubts and those feelings. And that's really, I think, what had solidified me to come back here and to continue to come back here. And anyway, awesome. That's my two cents.
Yeah. Thanks. And I want to open it up. Anybody have any questions yet? Or perhaps would you like to respond to what brought you here and what keeps you coming? Anybody up here want to do that? Anybody out here? It's cool. We can move on. Yeah, all right. So let me get right to kind of vision questions. Exactly. Let's go on. So, board, where do you see this church going? Where do you see it going? Where do you want to see it go? What works for you here? Where do you see it going, I guess?
I don't know. It just felt uncomfortable that no one was raising their hand. I don't know exactly how to answer that question, but I will say this is like the perpetual question the board, we talk about all the time, is where do we go? It's kind of an experiment. Like there aren't books, church growth books written for churches like ours that say, this is how you become a bigger church, or this is what we like. So we're talking about we have a staff meeting, a board meeting today. We'll talk about it some more. What makes us special? What makes us unique? How do we let the world know that we're here and still protect, kind of embrace the openness in which we do church? And we don't know. So no, I would say to the congregation, you know, to all of you, that this is something we're constantly trying to figure out, is like, what does this mean? Like, what's the next thing for us? I think we all kind of agree that embracing different points of view on what it means to be a Christ follower is key to who we are. And that means embracing, you know, more, we hate the spectrum, but left-leaning points of view. And we're learning to try to embrace even those who are still lean a little bit more in a more of a traditional view of Christ and who Jesus is at the same time. Can we do that? Can we make space at the table for those people under the umbrella of what it means to be a Christian? That's what we're challenging ourselves with. It's the question that I think we're wrestling through, and we don't have a perfect answer for it, but I'd like to hear if anybody else, you know.
Along those same lines, 2 weeks ago, you made a point to that someone who was more of a conservative mindset came in and made a criticism of the church. And I think it's important that we uphold that, you know, that we are, you know, we call ourselves loving and inclusive, but, you know, I think as a community, it's important that, you know, we have our deep beliefs and how we feel about certain things, but, you know, I think the bigger picture in terms of community is we're never going to make the world a better place unless we learn to open ourselves up to others in general. And so I think as a community, I think we're doing that, but I'm hoping that that's where also we head.
I just wanted to add that this is an ongoing conversation. I do think it's important, though, that we all, not just the elders here, but this community, as we are open and as we look at what does tomorrow bring, that at the end of the day, we really need everyone to be on board, meaning we need everyone to support this idea that we're an open congregation and that we really want to create a safe space, because we can't do it on our own. We need all of you to also do that with us. As people walk through that door, if they're first timers, we really want everyone to be like, okay, yeah, this is a new thing. This is a new space. Let's all kind of figure out how we can do it together. So just want to add that.
Hi, just kind of responding to that, and I'll kind of tie this all back together, but one of the things that brought me to Central was what I heard Aaron say one time is that what you believe, whether it's, you know, left side, right side, it doesn't make it wrong. It just makes it what you believe. And I think for me, that was extremely freeing because I had been in a church my whole life where this was the correct answer and this is what you need to believe. And so coming into a place of not a right or wrong, and I actually think it's really great that not all of us are jumping at the mic with an answer. And I think that really is great about our church is that we know that we don't have all the answers. And that's what I really think is special and unique about who we are.
Yeah, I just want to emphasize what May was saying. You know, something that is, we might as well paint it on the wall around here. You've heard me say many times, how you believe what you believe matters far more than what you believe. Because we believe that how you believe what you believe, your values, your ethics, how you live in relationship to others, this is Christianity. This is faith. How you believe what you believe. How do you live? Your faith lives in your actions, not in your head. That's something Peter Rowland says that I like to echo. But it's very, very helpful to think. At Central, we are very much kind of a radical theology community where we're defining faith as a way of living in the world rather than, as May said, a set of right beliefs, doctrines, things you intellectually affirm or feel certain, emote certainty in. No, living as Christ, living as a Christian is about a way of living in the world. At least that's what I hold and what I teach and what I really want this community to be formed around. And again, as May and others have said, that allows for a diversity of different metaphysics, a diversity of different theologies, a diversity of different beliefs about the divine, Scripture. You get that? Anybody have any questions or anything they want to respond to pertaining to that? Any or add? It's kind of the rubber meets the road, you know, DNA of Central, so to speak. Mixing my metaphors. Yeah, Nathan.
I think the way we get at that is not just through the Sunday experience, too. I mean, I love coming on Sunday mornings and you know, the songs and the teaching. But if that's all that you're, the only point of view you're getting of Central, I think you're missing out. Because I think for most of us that stay or have stayed for a year, have been here for a while, it's the dialogue that happens outside, you know, in the hallway. After the sermons, in the Q&As, it's in the philosophies, and me personally, the writers' groups, I don't know, the moms' group, in game nights that we do, and those social events where you can really ask those questions and get to know each other and where they're coming from a very personal level, that's where I feel like that's where the magic is for the community. And that's where you get those different points of view, because you go, oh, really? I didn't know that about you. That's interesting, yeah.
Anybody else want to add something, Chris? Ask a question? Yeah, Carla. Hello.
It's been a while. I mean, just as a commentary with what we've been talking about here, I'm going to use a sports analogy. So today's April 15. It's Jackie Robinson Day, if you guys don't know. And Jackie Robinson was known to break the color barrier in Major League Baseball. And I love the word breaking barriers because I think Jesus Christ did that. I associate breaking barriers with Jesus Christ. For instance, he broke the barrier when he talked to that Samaritan woman at the well. He broke barriers when he dined with tax collectors. And I think the reason why I keep coming back here at Central Avenue is because I see that here. I see us breaking barriers because we're inclusive instead of exclusive. We're not afraid to deconstruct. We don't build walls, we break them. And so that's what I see Central Avenue doing with open dialogue. It's inclusive. We're welcoming different perspectives, different opinions, different beliefs, and there's no right or wrong, and we're so open. And I think that's why it makes I feel Central Avenue so special. So
thanks, Carla. Thanks for that reflection. Somebody else. You know, one of my biggest concerns as the teaching pastor or lead pastor here has been, how do we form a community that's more about what we affirm and what we believe than rather what we don't? You know, it's very difficult to build a community, an organization, on who you're not and what you disagree with, you know, what you deny. In fact, you really can't. In order to build a healthy and successful community, it has to be about affirming something. It has to be about, you know, something positive, in other words. Does that make sense? And the one of the biggest challenges, I feel like, for us as the leaders and the congregation, you know, here has been, who are we now that we have lost our, by and large, our conservatism, our fundamentalism, the God, as Caleb was describing, this oppressive deity that told him that he was unworthy of love, that he didn't belong, that he was hellbound. What do we do after we lose that God? And for us here at Central, it's about trying to answer that question. What are we affirming here? And Carla, thank you. I hope that this is what I'm trying to say is I hope this is a place that is deeply affirming and is not just affirming of these concepts of love and justice, which of course we talk about all the time, but I want this to be a place where you're affirming of faith, affirming of God's presence in our lives and our different understandings of the divine. And really, it's our collective understanding of the divine that makes it the divine. You know, it's the diversity of our understanding. So I'm just trying to articulate my heart and my vision for this community. I want this to be known as a place of deep affirmation in various ways. Does that make sense? Yeah. Did you feel that way? Yeah, Colin.
I don't disagree with you completely, but I do want to push back a little bit about the concept of forming a community based on something that you are against as opposed to something you are for. While this is not a great example in terms of something that we'd want to model ourselves after, obviously, like, one of the most powerful social movements in American history was, like, the temperance movement, right? Like, that was organized solely based on their opposition to alcohol. And I mean, if you think about how extraordinary it is that they actually got a constitutional amendment passed by getting, you know, 2/3 of both houses of Congress and 3/4 of the states to sign off on opposing a single thing. I mean, being opposed to something, it can actually be a fairly cohesive way of organizing. And I think when it comes to God, I, in a lot of ways, I like that we can say all of these different beliefs are permitted. All of these different beliefs are encouraged, and the one filter that we apply is God is not this way. God is not vindictive and evil and mean and judgmental and capricious, and that all other beliefs of God are things that, you know, are harmonious, and that we can, that it enriches our community to have different beliefs of how God may work. And that we can be unified in saying we all at least agree he is not this way, which causes, you know, all of the things that we've been talking about this morning. It causes us to live in ways that are scared and frightened and reactive and less than fully alive.
Thanks. No, you're absolutely right. And that's never been the struggle for me, is getting up here and critiquing something and tearing down and deconstructing. The challenge for me lately, and I feel like for us as a community, has been, what are we affirming of? And you're absolutely right, Colin. And I think this community is made up of former conservatives. I'm trying to stay from these us versus them mentalities, but this community is by and large made up of people that would describe themselves as recovering from a kind of traumatic spiritual experience. And in a lot of ways, we are defined as a community of people who are against those iterations of theology and gods, that we have crucified those gods, and this other God has been resurrected here, right? This God of love and justice and peace and inclusion and radical love. So you're absolutely right, Colin. You're absolutely right. Somebody else, Max, did you want to? Whatever, you can use this mic. I think you're out. Here.
Are you trying to get me to tell Aaron that he's out of frame? So many things to think about now that we're recording. Aaron, you're out of frame. I'm pretty sure I'm right in the center of frame. What was I going to say? I just want to reiterate that process. And Aaron and I have been here 8.5 years now, almost. Aaron brought me in to do music about just a few months after he got here. And gosh, he and I often say is just like, if some of these people could see where we were, it just like it's legitimately like mind-blowing the process we've come through. And Aaron and I will be first to tell you, like, we messed up a lot, and like we continue to mess up. And that is, I think, what is at the heart of who we are as a church. Is like, we, most of us, like Aaron was saying, come from some of these traditions in which the pastor, which church, which people at a church, Christians, are seen as these people that don't mess up. And especially the pastor, you know, what he says is right. That's the interpretation of God that we have to listen to. That's the thing that we have to believe. And, you know, it's why we see these falling outs when all of a sudden the pastor turns out to be a human. And this brokenness. And so one of the deep centers of who we are as a community is this, as Aaron calls it, an embrace of the brokenness, and the idea that we're constantly in this, really this cycle, right? So we do a lot of deconstruction, and as Aaron said, we're trying to do more and more construction. But what that looks like is on shifting ground at all times. So we are never in one place building brick by brick this faith and this church and this community. And so it goes along with what we're saying about the vision as well. It's, we build a brick, we build a few bricks, and some of them get knocked down. And then we realize that we forgot to put the right amount of cement at the bottom, and we have to take that apart. And then we build some more bricks over on this side, and that side of the wall falls down. Like, it's this constant back and forth process that can get really frustrating and disorienting, but it's part of why I love this community and why we have a board of elders, is when we do that in community, it's the best way for us to be in tune with where the community is at. So Aaron and I talked about too, and Bob came in really not that much longer after me, we talk about like the different stages that we've been at. And each like 2 years, sometimes even 1 year, sometimes even 3 months, we'll be like, can you believe where we just were on this issue? Or can you believe where we just were in this process even a year ago? And it just looks wildly different. And I know that that's really disorienting, and that can make people feel insecure. And I think that's part of what we're trying to do here is help you realize that that is because of the type of church and the idea of church that's permeated in our culture. And for many of you growing up, church is where you went for the answers. Church is where you went to feel secure. Church is where you went to feel like you have some things to work on, but you are on the right path, you're doing great, your friends are doing great, you'll go out to brunch after and talk about how you're all doing great, but could use some prayer for XYZ. Like, that's the vision of church that so many of us have internalized, which is why it's so hard for us now to really dig deep and start to separate that part out and realize, no, we believe the church is living in community, motivated by what is best for human flourishing. And so to affirm like what Colin said and what Aaron said too, this idea of we do have a lens and we do have a filter, and it's not like we just affirm everything, right? We use this word affirmation a lot. We don't affirm destructive behavior and thoughts. We don't affirm things that tear other people down. We don't affirm things that put a cap on human flourishing. We affirm views of God. We affirm lifestyles. We affirm people and actions that contribute to human flourishing and contribute to creating a loving community and a loving world. And again, we do that in community, right? Because how would we know that without talking with one another, without living in community, without sharing in each other's lives, without hearing, hey, you know, this is how that sounded to me. I know you might not have meant it like that, but this is how it sounds. And so we get that opportunity just to constantly be in this cycle of breaking down our own walls that we've started to build up and starting to build new ones and breaking them down again. But I do think it's important to say that that's what's at our core, is affirming the good and the right, and the things of faith and life and Christianity and Christ that point us to human flourishing.
Somebody else? I have something. I think, too, for us, a big part of the discussion has been that a lot of the verbiage used can feel sometimes very linear, like we're moving from point A to point B, and that some of us are farther along and some people are not there yet, but you'll be there soon, and really breaking out of that, and that this isn't a linear journey. We're not on a linear journey. We're not going from point A to point B, but despite where we're at, we're here in a, as a community and supporting each other. And I would even say that as long as the behavior isn't negative, like even maybe people we thoroughly disagree with would be welcome to the discussion, and I'd want to hear from them and have them feel maybe not agreed with, but supported as a fellow human and somebody we love and care about, despite differing beliefs. So.
I keep thinking about this. You guys are talking, I'm looking at this window, and I just feel like that's the church. You know, like we see these darkened roots that grow up, and our roots are Christendom. Like it's this beautiful faith that has been around for two millennia, and out of it, each of us have kind of grown with our brokenness and our darkness and different things. And on Sunday mornings, we come together and let the light shine through us all, in a sense, and we all come at it from a different place. But that is kind of what it is. It's ambiguous like that. It's not a clear picture, but we only get it when we come together in that and let the light of, you know, that light of Christ kind of come through. I don't know. That may not have worked for you. But
are you a writer?
Writer's block.
So I came here almost 3 years ago, and when I first came, I wasn't really clear what the church was about and what the church believed. And I was really looking for an open, accepting church. And so I do think that's something that we've done a lot better with and we'll always be working to improve on. We're also faced with the challenge of trying to be more globally engaged. So we have this, you know, live stream and podcast, but also preserving our local engagement. And so trying to have more opportunities to engage you in activities and building fellowship and relationships. But ultimately, I think, you know, this church is about embracing the idea that Jesus is love, and how do we act that out? And that's what I think is our challenge and what we keep discussing in our meetings, and welcome feedback from you guys.
And with that, we have just a couple minutes left, and I want to just give people a chance on the board and the congregation to answer this question. What do you want to change here? Yeah. Oh, Dorian's fast on this one. Were you joking? Oh, he was not joking. Okay.
I personally, and I know we see traces of it, which is great, but I'm going to make a lot of people uncomfortable here. I would like to see more diversity in terms of race. And I don't know necessarily how we can achieve that, because I don't think it's gearing a style or any kind of perception towards a minority group. That's not it. But how can we all be more aware and more and have more effort in trying to not specifically just bringing people of color, but just, where it's... yeah. All right, we'll see what that.
Somebody else. Bob wants a mic over there.
Thanks. One of the things that, piggybacking on exactly what Dorian has said, and I talk about this from the front of the church sometimes, but the thing that I dislike most about this community is that we are a church that is pastored by three white males.
Straight
white males. And so in response to that, we brought Malin on to lead our children's ministry. So there you go. Standard roles. But this is something that we are like continually in conversation about, and something that we have to bring up and talk about, because the way that this community started to come together just unfolded in that direction. So being mindful of that means that as we look at what it means to expand the church, we need to be intentional about how we do inclusion well. Our elder board here represents people of some minorities, the LGBT community, especially women, and voices that we want to elevate so that we can take a step back. For me, I think part of what inclusion means is when you have a place of privilege and can speak with a voice of privilege, is that it is our job to amplify voices that don't get that, amplify voices that are held down. So we are intentional about that in the way we talk about social justice issues. It's why we march. It's why we support the Black Lives Matter movement. It's why we're engaged with the LGBT community and engaged with GCN. And their new acronym moving forward, which I
QCF.
QCF. Because the optics of who we are as a community do not reflect the values of what is important to us. I don't know what else to say other than it's something that we're aware of.
And we still suck at it.
Absolutely.
And let's just own it. We do. But we're getting better, and we're working on it. Hopefully. Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah.
But important.
Somebody else, what would you like to see change? Yeah, Lakin. You weren't stretching, were you? No. Okay.
This is just my personal experience. When I first started coming here, I had already met some of you from
Portland,
what GCN back then is what it was called, obviously. So I was just gonna come anyways, but, and I had been church searching for like probably a good 2 years before I came here for my last church. So I had a lot of prior examples of how people did things. Some were not so great and some were really great. Something that I found though here, and after being here for a little while, I think Dorian had hit on the head with the introvert thing, is that if you're, again, this is just my experience. Maybe other people can say, no, that wasn't my experience. But when I came here, it was kind of like if I wasn't intentional about talking to people, which most newcomers don't do, then they just sneak out the back door and you don't really get that connection. So I don't really know how to fix that per se, but I would just say maybe even just having like a team of like 2 to 4 people that's their job is to go back there with you and intentionally try to seek out people that they haven't seen before. Because I've been a part of other churches that are this size or smaller, and that was something that they had to do because otherwise people would just, you know. And like I said, I feel like it's intimidating, especially for people, you know, who are new or who aren't used to coming to church. They're not gonna reach out to other people unless they're maybe an extrovert and they're really just brave, but I don't think that most people do that, so it might be good. I don't know how to do that, but yeah.
I agree with you 100%. Emily.
I think one thing that we are changing and that that I think has become more of a priority has been our children's ministry. And I know that I've always heard it said that children's ministry tends to be kind of like the bane of most churches in the sense that it's always really hard to get people to volunteer. People would rather be up here than downstairs. But I think, you know, now that especially more of us on the elder board and the staff are having kids, it's become more of a, not that it wasn't a priority before, but like now we get it. It's hard to get when it's not something that's, you know, applicable to you. So, you know, in that being said, we spent, what was it, like $10,000, $30,000 fixing up the downstairs a couple of years ago. Well, because we just didn't have kids. Like, we didn't have kids as a part of our congregation. And now that more people are having babies, and, like, a lot of babies, you know, we've decided, like, we really, and, like, with May, like, being really consistent of, like, this is the vision that we have, and, like, really setting that vision and really getting feedback from parents about what that vision is, I think that's something that I would like to see just continue to, because, to be honest, I think most of us were raised very differently than how we're planning on raising our own children, especially when it comes to theology and church. And so we're not exactly sure how to do that, But I think that that's, for me, what I really love about this church is that we're kind of trying to figure that out together.
All right, well, let's conclude there because it's 11:40. We ran a little bit over, but Bob, you're holding your mic up to your mouth. Do you want to say something?
I just had one other thing that I think is so important, and I'll be quick with this. One of the things that I would love to see us do as we grow and embrace where God is pulling this congregation, as you know, many of you are here because this church is so rigorously intellectual. I love that about Central, and it's one of the reasons that keeps me and pulls me into a community like this. And so we are a very left-brained church. I would love to see, and we are looking at how to pull out of just thinking about God, because we think about God really well, and I think most of us would probably say that the way we think about God feels healthier than it used to be. I also want us to be open to and to explore and embrace what it means to feel God and to experience God. So this element is holding the balance between what we do really well intellectually and integrating that more into our whole being.
Hear, hear. Well, thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, board. Thank you, congregation. I hope this was helpful, enlightening, encouraging. Come back next week, Prophets Part 3. We'll get into it. Thanks, everybody. Go in peace.